We are all different. Different things matter to different people. To some people, what really matters in life is their home. They spend so much time and so much money on their home. That's what matters to them. Their home is what they talk about, what they worry about, and what they glory in. You should see my home. For other people, what really matters in life is their kids. They spend so much time and so much money on their kids. They spoil them. They drive them to piano lesson, tuba, the big thing, lesson. I've seen them. They drive them to soccer practices, to baseball practices, whatever they want to play. That's what matters to them. Their kid is what they talk about, what they worry about, and what they glory in. You should see my kid. For other people, what really matters to them is their pet. They spend so much time and so much money on their pet. They buy the best food, little treats, all sorts of toys for the pet to play with. They run to the vet the moment they see a little red spot. They call in sick. They won't go to work if the pet is not feeling good. They send their pet to the obedience school. They send the pet to the pet motel when they travel. They purchase medical insurance. They even have a grave in a pet cemetery. Their pet is what they talk about, what they worry about, and what they glory in. You should see my dog. That reminds me of a lady. I don't know the color of her hair. But she had two dogs, and she named one Rolex and the other one Timex. And someone said, what kind of name is this for a dog, Rolex and Timex? And the girl said, hello, they are watchdogs. For other people, what really matters in life is not their home, it is not their pet, it is money. They spend so much time and effort trying to save a dollar. They unlock their car door using the key to save the battery in the remote. They frustrate every salesperson, every clerk, everyone trying to help them, because money matters so much to them. They are tight, they are cheap. If you listen carefully, you can hear they squeak when they walk. Money is what they talk about, money is what they worry about, and that's what they glory in. You should see my portfolio. Well, this morning in our text, Paul is going to talk about what should really matter to believers. And he will show us what we should glory in. Today, we are going to learn about what matters in life. So please turn to our text. We are finishing today the book of Galatians. So please turn to chapter 6, verse 11, as we conclude our study of Galatians. This is our 15th and last study of the letter of Paul to the Galatians. We know that chapter 6 has two parts. The first one is a gentle, loving comfort, the first 10 verses. The next part is a gentle, loving counsel, verses 11 to 18. Last week, Paul's gentle comfort and encouragement was for us to walk in the Spirit. Remember, he showed us how to treat each other. He gave 8 exhortations. restore the men overtaken in a trespass in a spirit of gentleness. Number two was bear one another's burdens and affliction. Number three was don't think too highly of yourself. Number four was examine your own work. Number five was share with him who teaches. Number six was don't be deceived. You will reap whatever you sow. Number seven was do not grow weary while doing good. And number eight was do good to all, especially to those of the faith. Great encouragement. Now Paul will close his letter with a gentle counsel. Do not glory in anything, but glory only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only thing that matters in life. So he closes his letter and he says in verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. So Paul is wrapping up his letter here. Now, theologians trip over this verse. What does Paul mean here? And they come up with three possible ways to look at the verse. Option number one, Paul wrote this entire letter with his own hand. He wrote it himself using large letters because of his eye problem. Option number two, Paul is only talking about his signature. He only signed with his own hand using large letters because of his eye problem. And option number three, Paul stopped dictating the letter at this point. Then he took the pen into his own hand to write the final personal greetings using large letters because of his eye problem. Some argue that it could have been an attempt to make sure the Galatian read every word. At the bottom of the Declaration of Independence, you find the word John Hancock in abnormally large letters, bigger than the others. Hancock used large script to make sure that King George saw his name. And this might have been the reason why Paul did that, they say. Well, theologians are debating and arguing about this issue, and yet what difference does it make if Paul wrote the whole thing by hand, or if he wrote part of the text, or if he only signed the letter? We know that the composition of this letter is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what's really important. I will tell you what I think. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 17, we learn that Paul dictated his letters through a stenographer. Then he signed them with his own signature to assure their authenticity. But this letter to the Galatians was an exception. Paul was so passionate about this letter, about its subject, the grace of God. He wrote this letter with his own hand. Paul penned the letter to the Galatians himself. The theologian can sue me, and he can kiss my cheek, that one here. It's not important. They try to debate over simple thing. It is one verse that people waste time in fighting about. It's not that important. You may believe something different. You may believe he only signed the thing. But that is the word of God written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on and he says in verse 12, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. So Paul gave one last shot to the false teachers who had caused trouble in the Galatian church. He explained one last time why these false teachers were compelling the new believers to be circumcised. And Paul exposed their motive. It was really for three reasons. He said, number one, to make a good showing or to put on a good show. They wanted to be popular. So they showed their zeal to impress the people. They wanted the people to think that they were more spiritual than they really were. And that is hypocrisy. The reason number two, Paul says, it was to avoid persecution. Preaching the gospel of grace brought Paul great persecutions. He said in chapter 5, verse 11, that he was suffering persecution for not preaching salvation through circumcision or the keeping of the law. So these people did not want to suffer persecution for the cross of Jesus Christ or for the gospel of grace. That's why they were going along with salvation through circumcision and keeping the law and rituals. It was an easier and safer thing to do. But at the beginning of his letter, Paul said that their preaching was not a gospel. It was not good news. There was nothing good about their news. These legalists wanted the crown without the cross, like many people want today. They were unwilling to take a stand for Jesus Christ regardless of the cost. They had identified themselves with the church, but they compromised the truth in order to remain in good standing with their Jewish brethren. Paul made quite a statement about these false teachers in verse 13. He said, these circumcised Jews who try to make you keep the law, they don't even keep it themselves. And that's hypocrisy. Jesus said the same thing concerning the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23. He said that they did not practice what they preached. And then the reason number three, Paul says, it was to glory in your flesh. Their real motive was to boast about how many they were able to convert. They gloried in their ability to turn the believers away from Paul, away from his teaching of salvation by grace. That made them feel good, and they were boasting about that. The vain glory of men has always been a common problem. So much is done in order to make a good impression on people. We do it too. We want people to think that we are nicer than we really are. We want people to think that we are more spiritual than we really are. And we should not do that. The flesh likes to receive the glory and the praise of men. And as a result, so much is said and so much is done just to receive the glory of men. People say things that they do not really mean, and they do things that they really do not want to do, just in order to receive glory from others. Paul continues and he says in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Paul does not have in mind here the wooden beam, the cross itself, on which the body of the Lord was attached to. To Paul, the cross was a revelation of God's love for mankind. The cross of Christ was the place where the love of God for sinners was demonstrated. Paul had come to the place where he was no longer seeking glory for himself. The cross changed Paul's life. He said of the cross, "By whom the world has been crucified to me, and I crucified to the world." Verse 14. Before he saw the cross, the world's power, the world's wealth, and the world's religion, they had a hold on Paul. But at the cross of Christ, the world system was exposed for the evil that it is. All the world joined together to put to death an innocent man for no reason. After seeing what the world did to Jesus, Paul would never be captivated again by the world and its charms. Paul died to the world. He escaped the hold that the world had on him, and he no longer sensed an obligation to the world. There is a potential danger in serving God. People start looking up to the person whom God is using. As the flesh likes it, the person seeks glory for himself. But we are not to give glory to the vessel that God is using, only to God, who is really doing the work through the vessel. So Paul confirmed that he would only glory in the cross of Jesus Christ and nothing else in verse 14. The world was dead to him, and he was dead to the world. He would certainly not receive any glory from the world. Through the cross, he had become dead to the world, and the world had become dead to him. It is only as we take a stand for Jesus Christ that the world system becomes unattractive to us, and we become unattractive to it. Faith in Christ and acknowledgement of what he has done for us on the cross does not allow any compromise with the Lord, with the world. We are not to compromise with this world. Let the cross separate you from the world, and the world will no longer appeal to you. That's what happened to Paul. The world was dead to him, and he was dead to the world. If it were not of the cross of Jesus Christ, we would all be hopelessly lost. We would have no hope of salvation. We would have no hope of eternal life. It would be a miserable life, having all these problems and these difficulties in this world with nothing good. After we die, more suffering, worse, weeping and gnashing of teeth in total darkness. What kind of a hope is this? If it were not of the cross of Jesus Christ, our society would not exist today. Men would have wiped himself off the map a long time ago. We only exist because Christ has graciously and mercifully sent his only Son to die in our place on the cross. We should never glory in what we have done for Jesus, but what Jesus has done for us. If we could be righteous before God by keeping rules, keeping rituals, or by doing good works, then we could glory in our accomplishment and not in the cross of Jesus Christ. Then his work on the cross would be vain. He would have died for nothing. But that is not the case. It is not possible for any human being to obtain a righteous standing before God by keeping rules, keeping rituals, or doing tons of good works. So we have nothing to glory about except the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven," not glorify us. We are to do things in such a way that it will bring glory to God and not to us. We are not to seek the praise of men, but seek the glory that comes from God. The last two chapters of Galatians are full of choices to make. We see four sets of choices in chapter 5 and 6. Choice number one is bondage or liberty. We saw that in chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. The second choice is the flesh or the spirit. In chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. Choice number three, living for self or living for others. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. And then choice number four, living for the praise of men or living for the glory of God. That's here, chapter 6, verses 11 to 18. In verse 15, Paul repeated again that it is not what we have done or can do for God that counts, but what Jesus has done for us. He said we are a new creation in Christ. Christ did something at the cross, and that made us a new creation. It is important to see our salvation, our righteousness, in the cross of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Circumcision can add nothing to salvation, the salvation of the Jew, nor can the lack of circumcision take anything away from the Gentile. But the redemption offered through the blood of Christ can make both the Jew and the Gentiles new creatures. The only thing that matters is not whether a man is circumcised or not, but whether he is born again or not. The outward ritual will affect the body only, but it is the soul of man that must be reached. In Christ, it is not a matter of nationality, race, color, place, or position. Those things do not matter. What matters is that we have become new creatures. We are new creations. We have been born again. That's what counts. It's not a matter of rituals that we have kept. It is not what we have done or what we have not done. Salvation is by faith. That has been the focus of this letter to the Galatians. What rule is Paul talking about in verse 16? "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy is upon them and upon the Israel of God." What rule is he talking about? The one that says that righteousness comes from the cross of Jesus Christ and nothing else. It is given to those who believe, for those who trust in Jesus Christ. And as they do, they become a new creation. Those who walk according to this rule, they have peace, they have mercy. They know that their righteousness is not a matter of their work. They don't have to guess if they are saved or not. They know they are. Salvation is not based upon them. It is not based upon what they have done. It is based on what Jesus has done. So their salvation is safe and solid. They know they are saved. What does he mean by the Israel of God? This is a reference to chapter 3, verse 7. Remember, only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham, the Israel of God. To distinguish them from the Israel according to the flesh, the natural Israel. Paul knew everything about the cross. And we need to know everything about the cross since it is so important. He knew, number one, the person of the cross. Jesus Christ is mentioned at least 45 times in this letter. Number two, he knew the power of the cross. The cross meant liberty from self, liberty from the flesh, liberty from the world, liberty from Satan, and even liberty from death, we saw in chapter 5. So he knew the person of the cross. You need to know the person of the cross. He knew the power of the cross. You need to know the power of the cross. And he knew the purpose of the cross. It was to produce a new creation. It was to bring into the world a new people of God. For centuries, the nation Israel had been the people of God. And the law was their way of life. All that was in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. After Jesus came and finished his work of redemption on the cross, God brought into the world a new creation, a new nation, if you will, the Israel of God. Verse 16, the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. We are the new Israel of God. And Paul closes his letter and he says in verse 17 and 18, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Finally, Paul took off his shirt, so to speak, and talked about his scars. Most of his scars were proof of the suffering he had endured to bring the gospel to the Galatians. His scars testified of his sincerity. What does he mean by "let no one trouble me" in verse 17? Many had come challenging that he was not really a servant. He was not really called by God. So he said that he carried in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What marks? The scars. The scars of the whippings he received. The scars of being stoned and beaten with rods, as he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. These marks were really marks of freedom. These marks meant signs of ownership, like those on slaves or on the cattle. American Baptist missionary Adoniram Judson served Burma for almost 40 years. But for 7 years, he was imprisoned and kept in leg irons and handcuffs for preaching the gospel. His wrist and his ankles, they had several scars. Upon his release, Judson asked the Burmese king if he might be granted the permission to preach Jesus. He was not going to stop. And the king responded, my people are not fools enough to listen to anything a missionary might say, but I fear they might be impressed by your scars and turn to your religion. Scars speak very loud. Paul also spoke by his scars. In this closing section, verses 11 to 18, Paul did three final things. Number one, he repeated again his warning against the Judaizers in verses 12 to 13. Then he brought again the doctrine of the cross and his confidence in it, verses 14 and 15. And then he closed with a final salutation of peace, mercy, and grace, verses 16 to 18. The gospel of grace ends just as it started. It started with grace to you, and it ends with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It is indeed a beautiful letter. Pastor Sandy Adams in Atlanta, Georgia, said in his commentary about this section, he said, your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And he said, your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. We need God's grace. We are saved, we stand, we live, we grow through God's amazing grace. So we have come to the end of the beautiful gospel of grace. This last chapter has improved our vision. I hope it has improved your vision. It has helped us to see four things. Number one, to see others humbly. Number two, to see ourselves honestly. Number three, to see our leaders appreciatively. And number four, to see the cross clearly. The message of this letter is very clear, crystal clear. Righteousness before God is by faith. It is not by keeping laws or rituals. It is not by doing a bunch of good works. The just shall live by faith. Those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So do not allow anyone to deceive you. God accounts you righteous before him because of your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You are righteous before God because you believe. You are not righteous before God because of the things that you do or the bad things that you do not do. You are righteous because you simply accept the work that Jesus did on the cross for you. You are not righteous because you religiously follow rituals. You are not righteous before God because of the good works that you do. They come from your righteousness, but they do not produce righteousness in you. It's because you love God that you desire to do things for him. But you are not saved because of those good things that you do for the Lord. Some people have always associated good works with righteousness, but it is not true. Our righteousness is not at all related to our works. It is related to our faith. If we could only get this clear in our mind, it would change a lot of things in your life. Our access to God is not based upon having a good day or a bad day. It is not based on doing a lot of things for God. We have just as much access to God when we have blown it, when we have been angry, and have been a poor witness. God is still there. We are still saved. We still have access to God. Our access to God is not based on our goodness. It is not based upon our good deeds. It is based only upon our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. So the cross of Jesus Christ is really what matters in life. It is the most important thing in the world. Apart from the cross, we are doomed. So if you are going to glory, glory in only one thing, glory in the cross. Glory in the fact that the cross of Jesus has saved you. It has opened the door of heaven to you. It has made you righteous before God. So do not glory in the house that you have, or the kids that you have, or the great pet that you have. Do not glory in anything. Not your portfolio or anything. Glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. It has made you a new creation. And that's what really matters. Not religious rituals. Not family background. Not race, color, riches, poverty. Not your personal record. Not any great accomplishment. But the cross of the Lord Jesus. Because of his cross, this world is dead to us, and we are dead to this world. Because of his cross, we have life, eternal life. Because of his cross, we have unspeakable joy. We have unsurpassable peace. We have unshakable hope. And this is what really matters. So we leave the gospel of grace, beautiful book of Galatians, loved it, been in it for several weeks, but the message is the same throughout that letter. We are saved by grace. It is not what we do or what we don't do that is important. It is what Christ has done for us. You cannot get more righteous than having the righteousness that Christ has provided for you. So don't try to be more righteous than what Christ did for you. That eliminates a lot of competition and a walk with God that would be like a roller coaster. When you're good, you can come to the Lord and feel good about it. And when you're not, you don't talk to God and until you feel better. Whether you have blown it, whether you're doing good or bad, God is there. He's waiting for you. You have access to God at any time. Christ died for you, and that is the most important thing in this world. Without the cross, you would have no peace, you would have no joy, you would have no hope, because when you died, it would not be a pleasant thing. But now when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a good thing. Amen. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May he bless your week, your work, bless your family. And may ye leave in your mind at all time that message of Galatians, that you are saved by grace and not by works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.